My name is Dana Catherine Scully. I am a special agent with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, a career I chose after medical school, which promised a chance to further my aim as a scientist and as a seeker of justice in a science-based world. Soon after joining the FBI, I was asked to review the work of a fellow agent, Fox Mulder, and to debunk the X-Files, cases involving what my superiors regarded as science fiction and a waste of resources. I quickly came to understand Mulder's work on the paranormal wasn't such as I'd been led to believe, that the X-Files were worthy of Mulder's investigations and of mine, that a world existed on the far fringes of accepted science, a world where a scientist would have her strongly held beliefs tested and retested. I would also come to fear that the institution I joined and invested with my trust was subject to the influence of dark forces outside the Bureau and sometimes within. Forces threatened by Mulder's work and increasingly by mine. Shortly after sensing these threats, I was abducted from my home by unknown assailants and returned without a clear understanding why. But intervening incidents have led me to believe that during my short disappearance, I was subjected to tests. Tests resulting in a life-threatening disease. Its cure as mysterious as the illness itself. Tests which I now suspect are part of a larger conspiracy. A conspiracy of men hiding science for almost 60 years. Secrets kept from the American people by a self-interested cabal intent on the consolidation of power both at home and on a perilously global scale. But questions remain unanswered about their motives and their final objectives. When and where these men might play out their dark plans. And the significance of a recent test result of my personal genetic makeup turning up DNA anomalies that I can only classify as alien.
Welcome back, everybody, to the X-Cast. The truth is in here. And in this case, for one last time when it comes to Season 10. Well, the first of three last times, as this is the beginning of our end of Season 10 coverage, which we've been doing the last few weeks. And today we're focusing on the finale, which was, of course, My Struggle 2. And I'm delighted to be joined today by, once again, returning since My Struggle, Tania Hernandez.
Hello, Tony. Thank you for having me back.
It's lovely to have you back, Tania. Yeah, how have you been?
I've been good. Kinda. Until last night.
As you said to me a few times, we have a lot to talk about. It's felt like it hasn't been 5 minutes, really, since we were talking about My Struggle 1, and we were really excited about the oncoming 6 weeks. And we're here already? It's gone too quick, hasn't it?
Yeah, it was way too quick. I really wish it would have been 10 episodes. It just went. I think what messed it up, too, was having the two episodes back to back. You know, and then right away you were already down, like, you know, down to 4 or something like that. And I'm like, oh, man, you know. So, yeah, it happened really fast, too fast for me.
I think you're right. We've said a couple of times since you said about 10 episodes how good that would have been. So it does feel like it's gone a bit too fast, really. But today we're going to focus on Dana Scully for the last time. We're going to do a focus on her in this, because obviously this is her struggle as opposed to My Struggle 1 being Mulder's struggle. Yeah. So Scully very much is the lead character in this for many different reasons. Before we do talk about Scully, though, we're going to take in some listener feedback because...
Okay. Yes, I was on Twitter all night, so I'm very curious to see what people posted.
Yeah, we've had a little bit of feedback, yeah. We've had from Ray Noel, at Ray_Noel, who said, a great finale, I just need a season 11.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone would disagree with that, to be fair. And Quarry Lord, at Squadron 49, said, good watch, but it lacked the darkness and dystopia found in previous series. Now, I think they're talking about the, not just My Struggle 2, but the perhaps the season as a whole. So that's interesting that they feel that there's a certain element of darkness and, as they say, dystopia that isn't there. Mm-hmm. So what would you mm-hmm. think about that, Tanya? Do you agree with that?
Not necessarily. I thought this was pretty dark in terms of, like, global annihilation of the human race. I mean, this was pretty intense from the get-go. And then on such a massive scale, too. Like, you know, there's been a lot of talk about it throughout the show. Like, oh, it's going to happen. But then, like, when it finally happens, it's like, whoa. Like, it's pretty, it's a little scary because there are people that really consider something like this to really happen. And it could, you know. Not, I mean, not so much from aliens, but, you know, some kind of pandemic of this magnitude. I mean, we almost had that, you know, with the Ebola outbreak and stuff. Mm-hmm. And to see it like that, like, happen and not in, like, an, you know, outskirts somewhere where it was, you know, small, isolated population. Like, this was, like, a major city, mass population type of thing. So I thought that was pretty dark to, you know, when you think about it.
Well, it's interesting you mention about Ebola, actually, because funnily enough, just today in the news in the UK, there is a nurse who was in somewhere like Sierra Leone where the Ebola outbreak happened a year or two ago.
Right.
And she's been admitted to hospital again for the third time for Ebola. She was treated when she came back. She was next to death. She went into hospital again. And it seemed like she'd been treated, and now she's back in hospital. So we can only hope she's okay and she gets better. Goodness. But it's, you know, it is something that is a genuine fear right now. So I think I think you're right, actually, definitely, about a pandemic being something that Chris Carter's tapped into.
You know, there was always that fear that this would happen. And, you know, a lot of the characters were like brushing it off like, you know, it's impossible. And then when it finally happens, it's like, oh, shit. Mm. Like, you know, especially when you see Einstein finally realize, okay, Scully wasn't just going crazy. Like, it's actually happening when they start seeing the people coming into the hospital. And it's frightening. That's really frightening when you think about it, you know? And then how calculated it was, you know, they said they took out the military and the police. So there's no, you know, authority figures around. So then, you know, you eliminate that element, and then now you start going after, you know, the sick and the elderly, and then it starts going after the young and the healthy, and then now it's just everybody, you know. It's pretty frightening. But the fact that something like that can actually happen, it really hit that, you know, that that pulse really good, I thought.
I think what's also interesting about the pandemic, or the Spartan virus, as obviously it's called, is that it, in many respects, I know there are certain lesions and things, but it almost resembles the common cold in a way. It resembles the flu-like symptoms, like when Tad O'Malley's talking to the camera in a very much kind of almost like an old-style War of the Worlds broadcast as the planet's crumbling around him, you know. And he looks like he's got the flu, and it's that immediate image that you think, wow, this goes back to genuine fears that people have these days, that antibiotics aren't going to be enough eventually, and the flu is going to actually become like it did back in the early 20th century, you know, and kill millions. Right. So it's the way they did it, I thought, it wasn't like a big space virus, you know, it was a very human.
It was real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was very good.
Well, I believe that they had they credited a couple of doctors at the end for helping with this episode. And I guess, you know, in terms of getting the medical part of it accurate, you know, like how to base it in reality, like how these things would actually take place, and, you know, that it's not going to be some kind of crazy mutant, you know, it's going to be something that we've already seen. It's just that, you know, it's going to take us out in a way that we never thought it could do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like real medicine and stuff like that. So it's pretty frightening. And then it was even funny today, I was watching the Weather Channel, and they were talking about myths about the flu, and they said in there that, you know, most of the time it's, you know, older people that get the flu usually succumb to it and die from it, but a large portion too of the amount of people that die from flu are like between the ages of 18 and 60.
Yeah.
So even the healthiest people, you know, who are young and full of vigor and stuff can succumb to it. And, you know, that's pretty crazy.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, like I said, the episode hit that like right on the head and kind of made me nervous.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
It thinking does. Like the common cold could just take you out like that if you know, parts of your DNA were altered to not resist it anymore. You know what I mean?
It's a terrifying idea, really, and it is something that's very good. The doctors you mentioned were Dr. Margaret Fearon and also Dr. Anne Simon, who consulted with Chris Carter. Anne Simon's a long-time X-Files science advisor, and she's author of The Real Science Behind the X-Files. She teaches at the University of Maryland, I think. So they're both very key science advisors. And the thing is, you can tell with Chris Carter's script, which, you know, does tap into a lot of science. You can, when you're listening to Scully talking to Einstein especially, you can hear a lot of the actual science that's there.
Yeah.
So you could tell that their influence was all over the script, which I thought was good. I thought that was good. They went that extra mile.
Yes, I thought it was fantastic. And again, it goes to Jillian, like credits to her, because David said several times, like in interviews, she always has the harder part of the job because she has to, you know, how to say these medical terms and, you know, and she delivers it convincingly, like, you know, as if she actually studied that stuff and knows what she's talking about. So, you know, like it just helped validate it, you know, it just made it more real in that sense, you know. So it just makes it scary. Like I said, it just makes it like really scary and convincing, like, okay, this is real.
Yeah.
You know, this could happen.
Absolutely. So. Scully, I think as well. Now let's talk about it. You know, I think that credit to Gillian Anderson as well. And the script, I think this was Scully at her most Scully that we've seen yet this season.
Oh yes.
And it was great to have her back coming up with the scientific theories, but also obviously she has to effectively be the Mulder role in this episode, which I thought was really interesting. Because obviously we begin with a very much a bookending thing with Scully's monologue at the start, which happened with Mulder at the very beginning of My Struggle. We obviously see her put a lot of contextualization about a lot of the history of the X-Files with her abduction, the conspiracy, very much introducing a lot of the elements that this episode does call back into. And then you've got the horrible, you've got the image at the very end where she turns into an alien. That's terrifying, isn't it?
Yeah, when they released that last week, and I saw that, I was like, "What the fuck? What is going on?"
I saw that.
I was like, "Oh my gosh, you're gonna like turn morph into an alien now? What the hell?"
It's crazy. It was a great visual,
but it was really great. It was really great.
Chris Carter's he's done an interview post this episode, and we retweeted it on the XCast Twitter, and he talks about how that visage of Scully is very much maybe that, like a psychological idea of how Scully would feel she was if she was an alien. So it's not obviously a literal thing that she would become this.
Right.
It's much more how Scully would imagine it. So it was interesting to
talk about that. Well, the same thing of how she had the vision, you know, she was kind of, you know, where she was thinking about what her life would be if she had still had William. And then at the end of her fantasy, she envisions that he turns into an alien, so you know, because he has this DNA in him. So I think that was really nice because it kind of complemented that, like that fear that she has. She had that fear about William, and she has that fear now about herself, you know, at the beginning of the episode. So I really liked that. That was pretty good.
It was good. It was good. So, yeah, you know, she gets into the episode, and she obviously discovers that Tad O'Malley's back around, and he's doing his Truth Squad videos, and he comes to visit her and lets her know that stuff's going down. I've got to be honest, I do think that Tad O'Malley was a necessary component to kind of be the running sort of mouthpiece for the whole contagion and the pandemic and everything.
Right.
But I could not but think he was a little bit underused. I was hoping that he'd turn out to be like Smoking Man's stooge. I mean, who was Smoking Man's stooge is a massive,
like,
massive what the fuck. And we'll get to that later. But
it was funny because when I saw the actual stooge, I'm like, damn, Tony.
I know.
Tony had the wrong person.
We were so wrong, weren't we? And but I do wish that it had been Tad, in a way,
him.
It had been Tad, because it felt like there was more to him than we've seen.
Right. especially when we were riffing on that, and like, you know, we were like, well, wait a minute, he didn't protect Sveta the way he should have, and damn it.
Exactly, yeah.
That would have been a good one, though. Mm. That would have been a good one, but I think the other one was even worse. It was like, even like, whoa.
It was much, much more of a shock. But yeah, he plays a necessary role to sort of get the whole, you know, story moving in many ways, and Scully off with mainly Agent Einstein being, as I say, being the Mulder, being the one who immediately starts to put these pieces together about the pandemic, and say, well, it's alien DNA. And ultimately, you know, she doesn't turn out to be quite right. It's much more that alien DNA is the savior of the day. But I thought it was really interesting to see her be Mulder.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's harkens back to how much she has changed since the first episode, which, you know, Mulder's been pretty much Mulder throughout, but Scully is the one that has really gone on a journey and has had to discover things about herself and about the government and about people and stuff, and it's really changed her to the point at the end where, like, you know, she finally can, you know, live with this truth about, you know, there is science here, but there are things that are truly unexplained, and they may have something to do with these other beings. And she's kind of like resolved herself to that fact, and is like, okay, I can still work with these two things. I can still be the scientist, but now, you know, I understand why this is this way because of this factor, you know. So I just always found, like, I think I mentioned it before, that's why I always liked her character the most.
Yeah,
is because she had she went through so much and doubted herself and doubted everybody and, you know, questioned herself, and now she's finally like, okay, this is what it is now, and this is what I have to do with my science to try to fix it or resolve it or, you know, get the answer that I need, you know. So I it was interesting, like, she did become like a Mulder, but, you know, not, she's still the Scully that she is, you know. She still is not going to be that fantastical about it, or that, I don't know, crazed about it, or crazy passionate the way he, like, you know, gets, or like he was in this episode. But she now can marry those two sides of it together.
Well, it's within her context, isn't it? That's the key thing. You know, it's within her frame of reference and her understanding of the fact there is more to the science than everyone else knows. She says this to Einstein, doesn't she? She says, you know, that maybe the science you were taught is not quite the science that's real. Now, that's the most she'd ever go. That's the furthest she'd ever go in terms of belief. She could never immediately go, oh, there are aliens about to destroy the world. She would say, there may be an alien involvement in a DNA, in a pandemic that will wipe us out. So it was very believable. I completely bought Scully's sense of belief in this. I really did.
Yeah, I mean, and then, like, you know, if you ever seen like some of those shows on the History Channel with the aliens guy, they've talked about that, like, you know, maybe there were beings that altered our genetic makeup years ago, and it just like became a part of evolution, you know what I mean? So, like, I guess in that terms, she's kind of resolved that, like, she can believe that more than just, you know, aliens are just going to drop out of the sky and, you know, kidnap people.
Well, exactly.
And take them wherever, you know, whereas she believes more about the fact that maybe this being did land here.
Yeah.
And they did experiment with its DNA and try to modify the human genome with it, because I mean, that's what we're doing now, you know. So that is something that could, you know, she believes more, so she can believe that more so than just, you know, random aliens just dropping out of the sky and stuff like that.
I think it does stack up with the mythology itself as well, really. I mean, if you look back, as I was watching this, I was thinking, well, how does this track with the mythology that we learned back in the original series? And one key moment that kept leaping out to me was the discovery she makes at the end of the beginning in season 6, where after the movie, she basically finds out that obviously the aliens at that point, the EBE with the black oil, which is something that's kind of been left behind But in that case, it birthed that new EBE. But she found that there was a code in the human genome that potentially meant we were all alien. So even though it's not directly referenced, there is, for me, as somebody who understands mythology, I go, okay, well, then if there is that genome in there because we were, the aliens sparked human life, which is obviously part of the mythology and biogenesis and all that stuff, then maybe it's not a difficult leap to imagine that this conspiracy of scientists, of evil men, the Smoky Man and everybody, could have actually, in order to bring on what could be the invasion, to trigger this pandemic. To me, it wasn't something that I think was originally part of the mythology plan, but it makes sense as something that, because let's be honest, the plan wasn't for this when the truth came out. When Chris Carter wrote in that script, 2012 is the invasion date, this isn't what they were thinking of. This is something they had to adapt for. But it works. I think it works in that context.
Right.
So I can live with that. There might be a lot of people going, I don't know if this fits with the old mythology. But I think if you think about it and you do your own little tying up, the show won't do it for you, but you've got to do it. But if you do that, I think you can make it fit and work.
Absolutely. And I think also it makes a bit more sense, I guess. Because, like, the idea that, you know, these faceless bounty hunters and the green blood and stuff, and they were just going to come and take over everything, kind of, you know, like, is it going to be, like, Independence Day type of invasion? You know, like, that's what it would have had to have been, which I think would have been a bit far-fetched.
X-Files, would it? And this is the thing. You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, it's telling that in Fight the Future, Mulder takes a piss up the Independence Day, you know, poster. It's that kind of thing. It's that, you know, that wouldn't be this show. This is a much more realistic suggestion of the, you know, the end times. Although, you know, obviously, on a TV budget, you can't maybe get that across quite the same way as a movie would have done. But
yeah, I mean, it made more sense. And the same thing, you know, I mean, Smoky Man, in all his evilness, was saying something truthful in that, you know, it's not that, you know, they're going to come and invade us and take over us. We're going to just destroy ourselves. And this, his way of doing things is to save some of us, you know, like to save some of humanity in whatever sense that, you know, however he wants to justify his actions, you know, that it harkens to, you know, reality, because we are going to destroy ourselves, whether it's with the environment or whether it's with nuclear weapons or whether it's with biological weapons, you know, or whether it's with, you know, our words, you know, with who we pick as our leaders, things like that. Like it harkens to actual reality. Like, we are going to destroy ourselves in some form or fashion. And you kind of have to think, how are we going to stop that from happening? What would we have to do to stop that?
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, so I just, you know, I like that, to get away from this whole, like, alien invasion thing, they used that as the cover for the actual plan, which is kind of a eugenics type of plan, you know, to quell the population by using this, you know, this biological form of, you know, killing everybody and just saving the chosen ones the elite few, as someone put it.
Well, I think, Tanya, before we go, we need to talk about Monica.
Yes.
Because this was, I've got to be honest, I knew that Monica Reyes was coming back, but I did not think for 1 minute they were going to do this with her. This completely took me by surprise.
I am shocked. You know, the problem with this episode being just 1 hour, again, similar to how I said with My Struggle 1, I wish it would have been at least 2 hours, because I would have liked to have seen a little more of her motivation. Because I can understand, like, he's like, well, if you don't take my help, then you're going to die. Like, okay. But what else kind of prompted her to be that fearful? Like, okay, I'm going to do this because, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what other motivation was it? The thing I would have thought of is that because she was, like, at death's door before, maybe she was afraid of going there again.
Maybe.
You know, But I would have liked to seen her say that, like, or something to that effect. Like, what is it, her of all people, made her so fearful that she wanted to live so bad to the point where she would align with
him? There's a lot of missing pieces to this. You know, there's the whole fact of you have to really swallow a lot if you followed seasons 8 and 9 to believe that Monica Reyes would ever do this for a start. That's the first thing.
Right. That's the other thing.
Like, I don't believe that for 1 minute at all. And, I, you know, much as it was a cool twist, I don't believe any of it. The second thing is, you know, and this is a key thing for the fact we've got a major player who's been missing in this miniseries, and that's Doggett. So where's Doggett in all this? You know, they were practically a couple by the end. You know, they would have carried on working in some way together. Or that, you know, he's not even mentioned. And obviously the reality of it is Robert Patrick's on another show, and they did apparently try and get Doggett back, but it didn't work out. So he would have presumably been part of this script in some way, but there's no way he would have filled this role. So where did he fit? You know, where's Doggett been? Why didn't he stop Monica? What has she been doing for 10 years? And it's you know, she literally just been feeding the smoking man cigarettes for 10 years. It's like, well, well, longer than that, actually. It's just, well, this is the consequence. This is something we'll talk about when we do a little bit of a season overview later. This is the problem of having only 6 episodes and 2 episodes to tell a lot of mythology. And Monica Reyes' story has been enormously truncated. And I just don't believe it for 1 second, personally.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wish I could have got more because, you know, maybe she did it to be the ace in the hole because she ended up giving Scully that information. But it wasn't like, I don't feel like that was enough. Mm. I don't know, maybe she's the one flying the ship. I don't know.
You know? Well, like, yeah, exactly.
I don't know. You know, it's unfortunate because, listen, I wish you were here with me. When I'm watching the show, I'm looking at the clock. It's like 8:56. Yeah. I'm like, all right. They have 4 minutes. 4 minutes to tie this up. I don't understand how this is happening. Then, like, 8:59, she's on the bridge about to give him the IV. I'm like, what? And then the ship comes out and I'm like, what? And then it like ended and I'm like, this did not happen.
This is not happening. Like, were you doing that?
This is not happening. How could they do this? Like, you know, I could have maybe accepted it more if it was longer, the whole episode, and gone into a little more depth. Like, you know, she did all this, like, how long did it take her to come up with this freaking vaccine? Was very quick. You know, like, is this in a day or is this a couple of days? Like, you know, everything, again, which I think was a problem. I guess we'll talk about the overview, but, you know, everything happened so fast in just an hour. It just, I took it. I can accept it, but it was just too much. Like, we needed more than
one.
That.
It's part one of another story that we don't know we're going to get yet, and that's the other thing. In a way, I'm glad they've given it a cliffhanger because there's even more of a reason for it to come back now, as opposed to something like The Truth, which had a very open-ended kind of ending. So I'm glad in that sense, but on the other sense, it's very much like, well, this was a two-part finale squeezed into one episode, and you've still given us a massive cliffhanger that suggests either that. Well, I don't know what it suggests. Does this suggest if a UFO has appeared on a major bridge in the middle of Washington D.C. for thousands of people have seen
in the middle of a pandemic? So
is this the first sign of the invasion? It can't be because the X-Files has got to carry on as a series. It's not going to be a post-apocalyptic series with Mulder and Scully running around fighting alien griblies. That's not the show.
Aliens.
So
yeah.
I don't know where that's going. Somehow it's a very strange ending. But and obviously. It's just very rushed at the end. The whole episode felt rushed.
Yes,
really.
It did. And I mean, that's why I kind of, you know, I have so many conflicting feelings about it. I guess it had, I like a cliffhanger, so it did have me gripped there. But because it was so rushed, it just was like, I wanted more. Like, what is going on? Like, I had so many questions and not the good kind of questions where you're like, oh, where you could ponder and stuff. Because now it's like, are we going to get more? Like, you have to assume that we are, but there is still no definitive answer of more coming. Mm. You know what I mean? Because I was literally devastated when that thing just And when it said executive producer Chris Carr, I was devastated. Like, I literally had a tear in my eye because I was like, what just happened?
Well, that's an overall question that we will continue to ask for a while.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of Scully, I mean, you know, it was great being that this was her struggle and her way of trying to figure this out and her realizing she's the savior of the world. Like, that's so fucking cool. Like, how cool is cool. that? You know? But, I mean, kudos and credits to Jillian, because this was her baby. Yeah. Like, this was all her, this whole episode. I honestly, like, the last couple of episodes were really, like, Scully heavy, I think. I mean, you know, Mulder, you know, David was there, but he didn't really have a lot of lines the last few episodes. I mean, the home again and no, not home again, the other Babylon. One. But the yes, that, well, Babylon, home again, and then and this, yeah, I think you know, she had a lot going on. Like, she was really, like, it seemed like the dialogues were more for her than anything. So, I mean, credit to Jillian, because she really, like, had a lot, especially in this episode. She had a lot going on. She was in practically every scene.
She was.
You know, with the exception of Mulder's fight and his encounter with the cigarette smoking man, she was in every single scene.
And she did a great job. She did a great job. And that's a neat way to actually close out this episode with the tease of talking about Mulder and the smoking man, because we will be back to do that very, very soon, as that's a whole other flip side to My Struggle 2. Which we're going to get into. Yes. So until then, thanks for joining me, Tanya.
Thank you very much, Tony, and helping me through this emotional time.
Has to be done. We'll be back tomorrow, guys, for more My Struggle 2 looks. And until then, remember, this is the end.